Okay, Linda, it's Betsy, and we're ready to begin.
Okay.
Today we have with us Linda Hollander, who is the author of Bags to Riches, and she refers to herself as the Wealthy Bag Lady, which I just think is so cute. And when you get information from her in the mail, you'll receive a little shopping cart magnet for your fridge. So, anyway, Linda has become known as the Wealthy Bag Lady. Linda's an industry leader in teaching entrepreneurial women about small business success. She has over 20 years of experience as a small business owner, and she does small business consulting. Her clients include Disney, Cisco Systems, Mattel, Universal Studios, Yamaha, Sony, Revlon, Ocean Spray, Sears, and Nissan. She's the author of Bags to Riches, which it tells you everything you need to know about the secrets for women in business. It was the number one book on Amazon.com entrepreneurship list. She's the only person to be featured in both Entrepreneur and Female Entrepreneur magazine in the same month. She's also been on NBC, CBS, Fox Television, Bloomberg Radio, and Remarkable Women. Linda Hollander is the founder of the Women's Small Business Expo, which will take place in L.A. next April. Al Lipin, Jr., the founder of IHOP Restaurants, says, if your goal is to be a success, then the Wealthy Bag Lady has paved the way for you. So today, I'm going to be interviewing Linda for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which is NABBW.com. And we're going to be talking about how to be the hero of your own life. And Linda's going to share with us a lot of great information about her past experiences and how she has become the successful businesswoman that she has. And the great thing about Linda is that she's really willing to share, like, the intricacies of how she's done what she's done, and she's very good at educating others to do the same. So hello, Linda, and welcome to the call.
Thank you, Dotsy. Great to be here.
Good. First, we'll just start off with what you've become known as, the title of a Wealthy Bag Lady. How did you come up with that?
Hey, you got to know that. Well, I have never been on the streets, you know, walking the streets, but I have a business since 1988 that makes custom printed shopping bags in paper and plastic. Dotsy, those are the bags that you see at trade shows and at shopping malls, and we put the business names on them, and you mentioned some of our trophy clients, Disney, Mattel, Sears, Nissan, Ocean Spray, et cetera. We are located in the Los Angeles area, so we get a lot of work from the entertainment industry. We've done Warner Brothers, Columbia, TriStar. We've done a lot of television shows. We did the Tom Cruise movies. So it's been a great business. And women are going to love to hear this. I started it with my best friend in the world. Her name is Cheryl, and we met when we were 13 years old. We actually met at recess in junior high school and are still best friends after being in business for 20 years together. So, you know, that is really girl power to the max, which I know is what the National Association of Baby Boomer Women is about. But after I started my business producing the shopping bags, I kind of went into consulting because, Dotsy, you and I know that when women get together, they don't just do business together. They talk about recipes and family life and other things. And women are really the ones who will raise their hand up and say, hey, I need help here in my business. So I am a business-to-business service. And most of my clients own their own business. So they would ask me, they would say, Linda, what's a good accounting software? How do I find a good attorney? How do I do sales? How do I do marketing? And I would get into consulting them. So I started my consulting company. And then one of my clients said, you know what, you're not just a bag lady. You are a wealthy bag lady. And my God, I got goosebumps. My heart froze in that moment, and I was anointed. So then the Wealthy Bag Lady became my moniker and my trademark, and I absolutely love it because that's what I want to help other women do is become wealthy bag ladies. And, you know, I am a wealthy bag lady because of being in a business. So after I started doing coaching and consulting, everybody said, well, you know, you've just got to write a book. And so I said, well, I'm going to write a book, but it's not just going to be a business biography. I'm going to interview multimillionaires and CEOs and the top business leaders in the world to get their gems of advice for any woman who is thinking about starting a business or has started one and wants to take that business to the next level of success. And that's when I wrote Bags to Riches, which is 7 success secrets for women in business. And then, as you said, it went to the number one spot on Amazon. So then they said, well, we want to be in an empowerment forum where we can learn from these top CEOs and the multimillionaires on how to grow our businesses and to use their secrets. So that's when I created Women's Small Business Expo. Now, what I didn't tell you, Dotsy, is that before I started my business, I was not in a very good place because I was worse than broke because I was in serious debt. I was in a dead-end job. I'm in Los Angeles. We all have heard about the traffic situation here, which is not real pretty. So I had to, you know, fight traffic to get to the office every day in downtown Los Angeles, work with people I didn't like, and I realized at that point that I really needed for my mental health to work with people that I like and respect, and I think women can relate to that. And on a personal note, I like to say that on the highway of men, I was always getting off at the jerk exit because I was in an abusive relationship with a man at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, one day I did have an epiphany. I said, I am not going to be part of somebody else's plan. I want my life to count for something, and I want to stop being a victim. So I fired the idiot boss, and I dumped the jerk boyfriend, and then on a happier note, 3.5 weeks after I dumped this abusive man, I met my sweet and wonderful husband. So
wow,
I broke
that
the
was
cycle
quick.
Of abuse.
Good.
Isn't that cool?
Very
so
cool.
So really, Dotsie, all the good things in my life happened to me when I decided that it was time for me to strike out on my own and to get the courage to do that. And that's how I want to help other women go from being victims to being the master of their own lives.
Absolutely. And I find it so inspiring. And I have to tell you, I interviewed quite a number of women. And it does seem that these businesses happen after a valley. You know, and so many of us get so upset when we're in the valley and why are we here in this, you know, why me, that type of thing. But really what comes out of the valley are the mountaintop experiences. And I just think oftentimes that's what we have to go through to wake up and recognize what our gifts are and how we can use them to be in business for ourselves and for the good and benefit of others. So you're another one of those women, and it's just it's encouraging. And the whole idea about the abusive relationship is so important, too, because when you're in that situation, you don't have the courage to step out and make a change because you've been beaten down. So, that's really interesting. I didn't know that about you. So.
Yeah, and you know what? You're beaten down by life because not only are you beaten down in this relationship, and I want to clarify this a little bit. My relationship, it was not a battery situation. I was not physically abused, but it was an emotional abusive relationship. And I was beaten down by that. I was beaten down by the dead-end job that I hated. I was beaten down by being in debt and just not having any hope for the future or seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And sometimes, like you said, the abyss of your life is really the fulcrum to make those positive changes. Getting fired sometimes is the best thing in the world for a lot of my clients. They started their businesses because they got fired. And instead of, you know, pushing resumes, they said, well, I'm going to make a business plan instead of a resume, and I'm going to start my own business because I want some control over my future and over my destiny.
Yeah, and I think that we're seeing that more and more with baby boomers. I mean, for the boomers who are let go, laid off, put into early retirement, they're realizing, for the ones who can get beyond it, they're realizing that it's an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. I just wanted to ask you if you can give us some of the success secrets and stories.
Okay. Well, the first success secret is a great one because number one is you've already got what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, this means that you were born with the seeds of greatness inside of you. You are supposed to manifest your destiny and make all of those dreams that you have in life come true. And I want to talk to women in particular because you can capitalize on your feminine strengths in business. and let me tell you about your feminine strength. And this is why women are so successful now in businesses. Just to let you know, you probably are familiar with this, but women are starting businesses at twice the rate of men, every 60 seconds.
And is that any generation in particular, or that's just women?
That is 25 to 54-year-old women,
okay.
usually,
okay.
that they base these statistics on.
Okay, okay.
And then by the year 2010, we will own the majority of wealth in America. Now, that is not happening by accident. It's because we're really good at it. Because as a woman, you are the relationship tenders of society. Mm-hmm. And they did a test with boy and girl babies. And they took these boy and girl babies and put a human face in front of them and put a toy in front of them. Now, the boy babies paid equal attention to the face and the toy. But the girl babies overwhelmingly preferred the face. So from the time we're in our cribs, we crave attention, we crave connections with other people, and that is what we are good at. And business is all about relationships, and I am a big fan of technology. I love technology, but I know that business is done between people and not with faceless corporations. It always has been that way, always will be that way. So that's one place where we kind of have the edge in business as women. And then the second one is intuition, your gut. Do you remember a time, Dotsie, when you didn't listen to your gut and how it got you in trouble?
Right.
And that happened to me, too. When I didn't listen to my gut, I got in serious trouble. And sometimes, you know, there was greed involved. Sometimes I could just see the dollar bills, and I didn't pay attention to that feeling in the pit of my stomach that, oh, maybe I shouldn't work with this person. Maybe I shouldn't go with this particular deal. So really hone in on that famous female sixth sense, that intuition that all of us have that you just have to tap into and listen to.
Right. Okay. Very good point. Now, I noticed in your book that you had interviewed lots of famous people for those stories. And I'm curious to know, did you know them ahead of time? Did you reach out online? Did you call their offices? You know, how did you get to interview those people?
Basically, I called them and I asked them because I really didn't have connections to
mm-hmm.
these people. Yeah, I called them and I said, I'm writing a book and I could put you in front of at least 10,000 people with this book and promote you. And really, I think one person said no to me out of all the hundreds of people that I called. And usually at that level, at the CEO level, you're talking to assistants and you're making arrangements with the assistants. So you've just got to be really friendly with those gatekeepers and always include them in on your correspondence and send them cards and just really and chat with them and find out about their families and their lives because they're so used to being bulldozed over to get to Mr. or Ms. Big Shot
mm-hmm.
that nobody really takes the time to know them and talk to them. And that's kind of what I did. And that's also how I've gotten corporate sponsors because everybody says, how did you get all the corporate sponsors that you have? My corporate sponsors are Citibank, FedEx, Staples, Health Net Insurance. What I did was I just picked up the phone and called. And like I said, even with the advances of technology, there's nothing like calling and absolutely forming a relationship with these people. So, you know, most of them I just called or I found out a friend of a friend, you know, knew this person, and I could get in and have a conversation and do an interview with them. And they were just so accommodating. And I think this leads us into secret number four. Can I give secret number
sure.
four out?
Sure.
Okay. Secret number four is one of my favorites, and that says, wealth only corrupts the corruptible. And I'll repeat that.
Hmm.
Wealth only corrupts the corruptible. Because in getting to know, you know, multimillionaires, I see that these are some of the most generous people that I have ever met, and a lot of times they give anonymously to charities and back to their community because wealth does not corrupt. Wealth exposes. Wealth makes you more of what you are. So unfortunately, if you do have greed and avarice
mm-hmm.
inside of you, yes, wealth will bring that out, and we've seen that in a lot of the news coverage of corporate greed. And the high-profile divorces that get really ugly,
mm-hmm.
But if you have good inside of you, and most of us do, and we want to have businesses that have positive, life-changing effects on people and on our community, then wealth will help you to do that. I mean, just look at Bill and Melinda Gates and what they're doing, and Warren Buffett, who's giving away almost his whole fortune, you know, and that's really what wealth can do for you. And I want women, and especially the baby boomer women, to know this, because they were raised like you and me with parents who said, well, money doesn't grow on trees, and parents who may have had preconceptions about wealthy people. You know, and we hear all this stuff in the media, and then there's that movie that I watch every December, It's a Wonderful Life, mm-hmm. where there's George Bailey, and he's the likable schlub that you'd go down to the bar and have a beer with, and then there's Mr. Potter, who's an evil bean counter, and I've seen too many clients, Dotsie, stop short of success and really hitting their stride because they had all these preconceived notions about bad things that would happen in their life if they became successful. So just really be aware of these perceptions and what we hear in the media and even what we hear in our immediate inner circle, the people that we hang around with all the time.
Right, and actually it's a very good point because I have about 29 associates through the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, and women have asked me, did you know them? I mean, how did you get these people who, you know, have written books and launched sites and are doing great things for women? And I'm like, I just did my research, and I spent lots of times and a lot of time in the library, in the bookstore, and online, and I found women that I thought were approachable, who were doing great things, and I just emailed them or called them. And it's the same thing. You just have to put yourself out there. But you're right. There is this misconception about people being untouchable, and I haven't found it. I found one person who wasn't willing to work with me. But other than that, everyone was most agreeable and very happy, you know, to be involved. So it's a great point, and I think that we have to realize, you know, we can pick up the phone and we can email anybody we want to. I mean, and we need to be successful, to put ourselves out there. So that's a great point. All righty, let's see. What do you think separates successful people from the people who just dream of success and talk about success and this is what I'm thinking of doing, should I do this, and it goes on for years?
Okay. There is one word that I have found that separates successful people from those who just dream about success. That word is action.
Mm-hmm.
That word is action. And right now there's a very, very popular movie called The Secret that's
making
its way around, and it tells you about the law of attraction. But what they don't tell you in that movie is that if you just think good thoughts and try to attract good things into your life, and the law of attraction is very viable, mm-hmm. That they're going to come and repossess your furniture. If you do not take action, nothing will happen. And the commonality of everybody that I interviewed, my millionaire mentors for the book Bags to Riches, is that they had an idea and they took action. And we have been sold a bad bill of goods because we've been taught that knowledge is power. And knowledge is not power. Action on that knowledge is where your true power lies. And if I could, I'd like to tell a quick story about Estee Lauder.
Sure, I love stories.
Okay. The story of Estee Lauder is that she started out in the 30s and the 40s when she had no female role models. There were no women running global conglomerate companies. And she was doing makeovers in the local salons. And basically, she wanted to take that business to the next level and get her product line in the department stores. So she found out about something called a buying office. And if the person in the buying office liked your cosmetic line, they could place you in department stores all over the country. So this was a very important meeting for her. So she came to the buying office at 9 o'clock, introduced herself, and they said, well, you're just going to have to wait. I don't even know if they can see you today. Now, somebody else might have turned and left, but she said, well, I'm just going to sit here and wait. She sat there. Remember, she didn't have a cell phone. She didn't have a laptop. She was just like a piece of furniture there, feeling totally invisible. She saw a lot of other people, and to tell you the truth, at the time, it was mostly men coming in and getting appointments, getting into that door to see Ms. Big Shot behind that door. And she asked one of them, she said, well, what's in your cosmetic line? He says, lady, I don't know. I just sell it. And she could tell you every ingredient in her cosmetic line. She cooked it up on her stove. So lunch rolls around. They're saying, you know what, you should really come back another day. She says, no, I'm staying right here. They come back from lunch. I mean, you can imagine, they're saying, is that crazy woman still sitting there? And she was there 5 o'clock rolls around, everybody's gone, and the woman comes out, who is the buyer, and she says, "Are you still here?" And she says, "Yeah, I'm still here." So she said, "Okay, let's see what you got. You have been so patient." And that is the key to what made her the cosmetics queen, the global conglomerate, because she's done most of her business in department stores, and she has the best real estate in the department store.
Right.
She has the Clinique line. She has the Estee Lauder line. There's an Estee Lauder for men line. She just bought Bobbi Brown, her company, Bobbi Brown Cosmetics.
Right. Wow, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, her company just bought Bobbi Brown Cosmetics.
Hmm.
So basically, she had an idea. She did have the knowledge, but she took action.
Great point. You can't just sit back and wait for it to happen. And I can really relate to what you're saying because I have been on several teleseminars about marketing online. And people who are doing it or doing well at it make it sound very easy. But one thing that I have said in the one that I've done about marketing online is that it doesn't just happen. You have to work at it. You have to be diligent. You have to be patient. You know, day in and day out, you have to follow through and just, you know, just keep plugging away. And had she walked away from that opportunity, which was right before her eyes, would have been gone.
Absolutely.
That's a great story. I never knew that. Very
Isn't that
nice.
A great story?
Yeah. Yeah, especially since it's a woman, too.
Okay.
What is your definition of success?
Success to me is living your passionate life and doing it bravely.
Mm-hmm.
And women define success sometimes in different terms than men, because to some women, the ultimate success is being able to live their life on their own terms. I have clients who stop working at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because they want to be there and be totally present for their children, and their businesses have not suffered any negative effects at all. And then I also have a client who runs a daycare center. That's her business, because I do business consulting. And, you know, she's not going to get on the cover of Forbes magazine with a little local daycare center, but I would consider her extremely successful. She is living her passionate life. She is molding and shaping the lives of these children who will be our leaders of tomorrow. And what more important work could there be? So that is the definition of success, living your passionate life and doing it bravely.
Very good, very good. And actually, one thing that I think about, well, the next question I want to ask you is, how can women find their passion? And one of the things that I often think about with finding a passionate life is, your passion is what you are doing when you lose total track of time. And I find that when I'm working on my association and on the Boomer Women Speak site, I look up and like 2 hours have passed. And it just tickles me because I'm like, oh, yes, you know, you just get so into it. And I wonder if you feel the same way.
Absolutely. Your passion is really what you would do if there were no other distractions in your life and you really didn't have to worry about cash flow as an issue. And we've all heard that you can imagine if you won the lottery and write down what you would do. And I think your point to journaling is very good, too, because if you journal and you write down what you've done during the day and what you love and your thoughts about it, things will come up that make themselves very, very clear to you as to what your passion is. And I want to talk to that a little bit because I was interviewed also by this guy who wrote a book for 20-somethings. And he says, well, you know, a lot of the people in their 20s wonder, you know, should I go into a profession that makes money and then after a few years then I can do my passion? And I say, you know what, I think that you have to do your passion and find a way to make money at it because it's just a better way to live, to do your passion. And you're going to find a way to make it work, make your passion work. And a lot of people who go off on this other tangent to make money and then think they will come back to what their original passion was, most of the time they get caught up in that track and they don't revisit you know, what they started out doing and what they imagined doing as children and what they fantasized about. And, you know, none of us know, you know, our lives could be taken, you know, tomorrow. We could get hit by a bus or something, and we've only got a few short years on this planet. So why not do what you love every day? Why not wake up every day and say, oh, my God, thank God it's Monday. Thank God I get to go to this fabulous business that I have. And I also think And if you're listening, not in the car, but if you're listening, write down the words mission statement, because I encourage all of my clients to write a mission statement. And mine used to be a page long, but now it's one sentence. Do you want to hear my mission statement?
I'd love to.
Okay. My mission statement is that I want to live well, I want to have fun, and I want to help other people discover and achieve their greatness.
That's
so
beautiful.
Live well, have fun, help other people discover and achieve their greatness. And that has really guided my life's purpose, because I could have done some very lucrative deals, but the people that I would have had to work with would be really abrasive, and
it wouldn't be fun.
Be dreading it.
Right.
That is the beauty also of being an entrepreneur, because you could decide who you want to work with. If you're an employee, you have to kind of suck it up and take it. But, I turned down those deals because I just didn't want to work with those people. And the second part of my mission statement is having fun. I want to have fun in everything I do. That's really, really important to me. And what happened, Dotsie, was because I turned down those deals, my ideal clients came to me. And that was because I stuck to my mission statement.
Right. And then the people you attracted were the people who were also interested in having fun.
Yes.
Right. Okay, well, let's move on to what we can learn from one another, and more specifically, what women can learn from men.
What women can learn from men. Okay, I'll give you a couple of things, and I don't bash men. I love men. I have some great male clients, great male mentors, a wonderful husband. So I love working with men. And the reason I do is that men make decisions really quickly, and I think that is something that we as women can learn from them.
Great point, right.
We women tend to weigh too many options and ask all of our friends and try to get approval. And you know what? The cycle from idea to decision sometimes will determine your success in life, because, like I said, most of the successful people that I have met had an idea and they took action on it quickly. And that means they had to make decisions quickly. So the worst thing that's going to happen is you make the wrong decision. So what? You know, it's not going to be, you know, life-threatening or anything. You might lose a little bit of money, but, hey, I've lost so much money in my lifetime, and most of the multimillionaires have gone bankrupt at some point in their life. So, you know, the difference between the successful people and the ones who dream about it, there's another one, because if you get down and you stay down, then that is not a successful person. If you get knocked down and then you pick yourself up again, that is the sign of somebody who is successful and is going to make it and have a wonderful life. So we can learn to make decisions quickly. That's something we can learn from men. Another thing that we women can learn from men is to invest in ourselves regularly and without apology. And let me explain this. I want you to practice lifetime learning. School is never out for the pros, and men will do that. Men will buy the expensive seminars. Men will hire the high-priced consultants. Men will do what they have to get their skill set in order, and if that means investing money, then so be it. That it's investing money, but it'll pay back to you exponentially. I've seen that a lot of women are hesitant to spend money on themselves, and I think it's a self-worth issue. And especially as baby boomer women, we have those issues where we're not brought up in the self-esteem generation where every time you went to a birthday party, you're given a balloon that says you are special. I certainly wasn't.
Right. And I think we were taught. I'm sorry, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, and I think we were taught to deny our successes also. You know, even when someone paid us a compliment, we were like, really? Oh, gosh, you know, we just wouldn't accept it. And I think that has a lot to do with our whole image and how we work in business.
Exactly, because, you know, when I tell people that I've spent money on a high-priced seminar, they're like, oh, really, why? You know, and it's almost, you know, and I almost get like, oh, how dare you, you know, do that. You know, you could spend money on something, you know, else. And we're taught to give to everybody else, to our families and our friends, but we're really not taught to give to ourselves. And like
right.
you said, even when we receive compliments, if somebody compliments your outfit, you say, oh, this old thing, you know, and I want you to stop doing that as of today. If somebody gives you a compliment, you smile, you look at them, and you say, thank you so much, and you don't say anything else, and you become good at receiving, because as women, sometimes we're not really good at receiving. We're great at giving, but we're not good at receiving.
I absolutely agree, and that's one of the things that I also promote. So that's neat. Okay, so let's see. We have make decisions quickly, invest in ourselves professionally. Anything else we can learn from men?
Let's see. We could we could learn to be better at directions, I guess. And now I just do the directions on computer, so I don't have to ask for directions either. But those are really the two main things that we can learn from men that I think will really help us build our businesses.
Good. Okay, now what about what are women's strengths? So what can men learn from women?
Okay. Well, again, we'll come back to relationships.
Okay,
we'll
yeah.
Go back to intuition, but then also multitasking. I'm going to go back into the brain again, and I did brain research for my book, which is weird for a business book, but there is something called the corpus callosum in our brains, and it is thicker in women. Now, the corpus callosum allows you to think with both sides of the brain, the left and the right hemispheres. So when men are solving a problem, they are reliant on one side or the other, either the right brain or the left brain. When women make decisions, they rely on both sides of the brain, and their synapses firing all the time between the two hemispheres. This means that we as women can do a lot of things at the same time. And, you know, that's wonderful for business, is that, you know, we can have a conversation. We could be emailing. The kid could, our child could come in while we're working, and we don't just get totally non-pulsed because they've come into the room. We can take care of their needs, and then we can continue working. So that's really an advantage that women have, is the ability to multitask just because of the way we're wired in our brains.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's so interesting because I know sometimes I exhaust myself by multitasking, and we have to be careful not to overdo because
yes.
then you burn out. But we yep. are most capable of doing that. And that's one of the things that I say when I talk about baby boomer women. You know, we've multitasked to survive. Because we've had to, and even now, at this stage in life, you know, we're working, we're taking care of our parents, we're taking care of our children, we're taking care of the home, you know, everything else that goes with it. And so, we have to multitask to survive. Okay, let's see, what can women do right now to make a change in their business? So, if someone hasn't launched a business, they're already in business. Is there anything that you can suggest without knowing specifics about the business? Anything that women could do to make a change?
Okay. First of all, write that mission statement that I talked about earlier.
Okay.
Write it and then put it in a drawer for about a week and then take it out again. And if it really resonates with you, and like I said, it gives you goosebumps if you feel like, oh, my God, this is what I want to do with my life, then you have your mission. Then you have your purpose. I also talk about something called the success planner, and that is really prioritizing what you do during the day, because sometimes what people say they want to do and their behavior is totally incongruent. So let's just take something that's not business related. Let's say somebody wants to lose 10 pounds, you know, and every woman I know is trying to lose 10 pounds, including myself. So I want to lose 10 pounds, but then I eat ice cream and I eat cheese and, you know, breads, and you know, I don't exercise. So my behavior is incongruent with what I want to do. If I want to lose 10 pounds, what I'm going to do is I'm going to work out with my DVD in the morning. Now, after I work out with that DVD, I'm going to record it as what's called a value event. So be cognizant of what you do during your day that's your value event. And I'm going to, if I, you know, eat fruit instead of ice cream because I had that sweet urge,
mm-hmm.
that's another value event. I'm going to write that down. And by writing it down in a journal, Dotsy, it works on your subconscious, and most of our behavior, it's estimated that 85% of our behavior is subconscious. So you can get hypnosis, which I have done, or you can keep a success planner, which is writing down the value events in your life, and some people even assign an amount to it, like you could pay yourself $5,000 for exercising in the morning. And sometimes
oh, gracious,
no
I haven't heard that yet. That's
Isn't
interesting.
Cool? There's no difference between a real payday and an imaginary one to your subconscious. So that goes into your subconscious. Hey, I paid myself $5,000, and I mean, it's just in your book, your mental bank, for exercising in the morning, and then you'll want to do it again because you get a reward. Your reward for exercising is not a Hershey's Kiss. It's paying yourself $5,000. So that's a really, really cool technique if you don't want to go into hypnosis, but you want to change your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it all begins with your thoughts. That's a really cool technique to really get things done. And then I also talk about feared things first. If you have something that you are really anxious and intimidated about, maybe it's making a sales call to somebody, in your business, you know, to get business, and you don't know this person well, and you have to go into a presentation, and there's a lot of anxiety surrounding that, do it first thing in the morning. Do it first thing in the morning. Don't put it off, because that creates too much psychological baggage.
Absolutely.
Do it first thing. You'll see, oh, my God, that wasn't so hard. And then you'll feel a sense of accomplishment the whole day because of what you did. So do one feared thing first every day.
Very good. That's great. And, you know, I also want to get back to the journaling, because I really believe that when we journal, so many times, you know, we're in such at such a pace, and we are doing the multitasking, and we have thoughts, and we never follow them through, like, oh, I really need to do such and such. But when you journal, you are writing your thoughts, and you take the time to follow the thought to the end. You don't get sidetracked by a phone call or an email or something else that distracts you, or even just another thought. So I really believe that when we journal and we write and we seek, like, guidance and wisdom, it's just, you know, you just start really living what you're journaling. And if you're really trying,
I want to add something. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, if the name of the game is really self-improvement and trying to build a better business, be a better person, you know, have fun, and you can just, it just starts to happen because you've prepared yourself for it. You've planted those seeds, and it's the follow through. So go ahead. What were you going to add?
Well, sometimes you have to get out of your physical environment to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I know a girlfriend, and she goes to the most opulent hotel in her city to do her journaling, to do her creative visioning,
mm-hmm.
because then she's surrounded by beauty, and she's surrounded by, you know, the fireplace and the cute waiters in the lobby. And
right, right, know, whatever it takes.
It's gorgeous, you know, and she looks out on the gardens that they have at the hotel. And that's where she does her visioning and her journaling, because then you're, first of all, in your, if you work at home, in a home office, if you work in an office, there's all kinds of distractions. And everywhere you look, there's a reminder of a task that needs to be done. So if you take yourself out of that physical environment, and it could be just going into the backyard, sometimes that's where some really creative, powerful things start to emerge.
Yes, that's neat. And that's so true. Very true. Well, you know, one thing if you don't mind me mentioning right now about something to that could change your business, I've been reading a little bit about this because I have this email problem personally. Because of my sites and because of my forums, I receive so much email that I can work in my email all day. And so I was recently reading Money Magazine, and I think it was the March issue, and they were talking about the email chain that binds us and how it's supposed to free us up so we can spend more time out of the office, but so many of us are getting, like, tied to the email. And one of the things that was interesting, it said that I think it was 25% of managers at big companies are feeling totally overwhelmed by their daily communications. And I just find I just find that to be true, and I find that if we can find a way to do our email once in the morning or once at the end of the day instead of working online and constantly checking it, that we'll get much more accomplished. And I just think it's something that can really...
Productivity experts say that you shouldn't even do your email in the morning, first thing in the morning, because it's too easy, as you said, to get just sucked into that vortex.
Right.
Of email. And, you know, you don't realize how big that cord is until you take a vacation and you're away from your ego.
Oh.
It's like, oh my God, either you're feeling, oh my God, I feel so free that I'm away from my email, or oh my, I have to get back and check my email.
Right.
So that's when I realized how that cord is, how that bondage is. And you're right. We were sold a bill of goods like 10 years ago when they told us about cell phones and email. Now we're just so much more reachable that, yeah, you have to find a way to manage it or it's going to take over your whole workday.
Yeah, another statistic they said was that like 55% of employees or just workers read their email almost immediately. And that's what I mean by being tied to it. That's more than half the people are tied to their email. And I just think it's really, I think, causing a slowdown in many cases. Because all of the email that we get isn't all that important either. And you spend your time reading all these ridiculous, you know, spams that get sent to you somehow or other. But anyway, that's something I think we really need to watch out for is all the correspondence and how to be efficient with it. So
yeah, you could always hire an assistant to take care of some of your correspondence too. There's something out there called virtual assistants who are actually angels from above, and they will do things like scheduling and email, and they will take care of a lot of the admin work that really bogs us down as entrepreneurs so we can work on the important parts of our business, which I think are sales and marketing. And if you're just doing answering emails, then you don't really have the time to be creative and to think about, you know, ways to build your business, because you should do one thing every day in your business that ensures the future of that business, not just putting out the fires that happen every day.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned virtual assistants. I have a virtual assistant, Georgia Richardson, you know, Queen Jawjaw at queenjawjaw.com.
Oh,
she's my virtual assistant, and she does so much, and I've never met her face-to-face, but she works about 20 to 25 hours for me a week, and she's actually coming to Baltimore at the end of March so I can meet her face-to-face, but she's an excellent virtual assistant, and it really just makes all the difference in the world, and it's great for people with small businesses because you don't have to be in the same office. All you have to do is have email and be able to send, you know, all the information back and forth to one another, so I highly recommend virtual assistants. Okay, let's see. Let's just get back to a couple more questions before we have to call it quits. What do women need, or why do women need more money than men?
Oh, my God. I could, like, talk for hours about this. And this is so fun when I do a live seminar because I put it out to the group, which is, of course, all women. Okay. I think equal pay for equal work is not correct. I think women need absolutely more money than men because being a woman raises your cost of living exponentially. Think about all the things that we women need that men don't need. Pantyhose. Oh, and I want you to think, and I'm talking to the baby boomers, so they'll remember this movie. One of my favorite movies of all times is Tootsie with Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, loved
remember
it.
Remember that scene when he has to play the female character on
I sure
soap
do.
Opera?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into the department store, and he has to buy pantyhose,
mm-hmm.
and he has to buy cosmetics, and he has to buy all this stuff, and he comes back with all these bags and says to his friend, he says, how does a woman become attractive? You've got to spend a fortune here. And that's what I want you to think about. I mean, even just getting a haircut, think of how much more we spend at the salon than our male counterpart spends at the salon. And studies have been done that show women even pay more for the same car. So those are some fun things, but a really sobering statistic, Dotsie, is that we as women will outlive our male counterpart by
right.
about 7 years, according to the actuarial tables. So say you need, let's say, $50,000 to live each year. I'm just going to pull that figure out because it's easy and I'm not a math person. if you need $50,000, you're going to need $350,000 more in your lifetime than a man of the same age as you. So that's why we as women need more money. Also, what you mentioned before, we take care of elderly parents. We take care of children. A lot of times after divorce, women get custody of the children. And all those reasons are why we don't need as much money as men. I believe as women, we need more money than men.
That's interesting. I've never heard that before, never read anything about it, so that is really neat to hear. That's really something. Okay, now I understand that you have a Women's Small Business Expo, which is very interesting to me because I became involved in one locally last year through this networking group that I'm in Baltimore. And it is so empowering. I had a table at it and, you know, worked the weekend and sold memberships. And but in addition to that, I was able to walk around and see what all these other women business owners were doing. And it was just, I just left there feeling, oh, my gosh, you know, we can definitely do anything. It was just very empowering. So can you tell us a little bit about your expo?
I sure can. This is our fifth one. As you mentioned, it is in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And we're playing with dates right now. It's either going to be in September or November. And it's basically a one-day intensive where you can learn everything about creating, sustaining, and growing that small business. You're going to learn how to do your website. You're going to learn about how to get publicity, how to do branding, how to do sales, how to do marketing. You're going to learn how to get the money, and that's always a really important draw, how to get finance, either startup capital mm-hmm. or working capital for that particular business. And boy, oh boy, financial institutions really want your business now. It was not this way when I first started in business. You know, there weren't banks calling me all the time to give me money, but now there's some really, really excellent ways to get financing that most women don't even know about, and we're going to talk about that. And then what we do is we start it with this amazing networking session where you begin to meet other women entrepreneurs, because one of the other commonalities of all of the people that I interviewed for Bags to Riches was that they had a success team. If you're not surrounded by people who are supportive of you, you need to upgrade mm-hmm. and surround yourself by people who hold your visions in life, that are in the trenches like you are, that know how to build businesses. So you're going to learn so much from the other women that are there. As you said, it's very empowering, and we make connections. And the women who come really keep in touch with each other, you know, and we've had business partnerships emerge. We've had so many wonderful things happen just from being there, just from showing up and meeting the other women there. And we also have something that is one of our most popular things. It's called the Hour of Power, where you get to sit across the table from a business expert of your choice and do laser coaching and ask them one-on-one and bring your problems and bring your issues that you have about your business or about starting a business if you haven't taken that leap yet. And somebody will coach you, and they will so laser down what you need to do. It is amazing to see what happens in the Hour of Power. So you can go to wealthybaglady.com. That's my website, wealthybaglady.com. And there's a click-through there to the Women's Small Business Expo. And also, I'm going to give out my toll-free phone number, which is 866-WOMEN-BIZ, 866-WOMEN-B-I-Z. And if you want the numbers, it's 866-966-3624.
Okay, that's great. Now, let me just ask you a question about that business expo, because I recently attended a conference, and one thing that they didn't do that I really wish that they had done was to give a list of the people who attended. Do you do that?
Yes.
Oh, see, I think that's wonderful, because then people can go back, and even if they didn't have an opportunity to meet the person at that expo, they can still correspond with them. And
absolutely.
I think that's so
it's
important.
It's available on request, because, you know, sometimes we don't know if women want their information given out, but mm-hmm. if you request it, yes, absolutely, you can get the list of the women that were there.
Yeah, very good. That's great. Okay, let's see. I believe you said you were going to have a free giveaway to any of the people on the call. So what do you have for us, Linda?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got two free giveaways. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, people love giveaways.
The first one is a quiz, and that's also available on wealthybaglady.com, called Are You a Natural Entrepreneur? This is my most popular quiz, and it really measures 15 dimensions of success in entrepreneurship. So even if you're already running a business, this is a great quiz to take because it shows you where you're strong and it shows you where you are weak in business. And one of the places where I am weak is, as I said, in math and in those kinds of skills. Now, I partnered up with somebody who is strong there. My father is an accountant. I didn't get the matching. I'm a right brain creative. And so it'll show you that. So you'll see where you need to partner up with somebody or where you need to improve your skill set to be more successful in business. So that's the free quiz, Are You a Natural Entrepreneur? And then there is a report that is not just a nice thing. It is a necessary thing. You really want to read this report called The Top 7 Business Blunders and How to Avoid Them. And you'll see mistakes that have almost toppled the corporate giants that you cannot afford to make as a small business. And you will learn from these top 7 business blunders. So that's also a free report available on wealthybaglady.com.
Okay, very good. All right, do you have anything else you want to share before we sign off?
I just want to tell all the women listening to us to really hold your head high and know that you were put on this earth for a purpose. And your purpose is to be actually in the life-changing business. And I think all of us are in the life-changing business to do transformational work, to provide quality and value and service and help people and make your life count for something. And I want to just mention also that part of the proceeds of my books and my Women's Small Business Expo and my coaching business go to something called the Women's Peace Campaign. Because remember, I told you that your business is the fulcrum that helps you give back to society, and I want to do that, and that's part of the reason why I do the Women's Small Business Expo. But part of the proceeds go to an organization that helps women who were abused and suffering in silence. They mainstream those women. They teach them entrepreneurial skills, and there have been some amazing success stories from that particular charity. So that is my way of giving back. I broke the cycle of abuse. I want to help other women break that cycle of abuse.
Okay.
And I want you to think of what you can do when you become successful, or even on the way, because even on the way to success, you're supposed to give about 10% to tithe, to give back to society. And it could just be for your own family. It could be sending your kids to a great college. So I just want you to think of how you can make the lives of the people that you know and the people in society better. Go out and build a great business.
Very good, Linda. That's a great message. Can you tell us the website, Women's Peace?
It's the Women's Peace Campaign. If you go to wealthybaglady.com,
okay,
there is a click-through called Charitable Giving,
okay,
and it hooks you into the Women's Peace Campaign.
Okay, great. All right. Well, I just want to thank everyone for being on the call. Again, I'm Dotsie Bragel with the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, www.nabbw.com, and also the founder of BoomerWomenSpeak.com, which is the number one site on major engines for search engines for baby boomer women. If you are not a member of the association and you are interested in joining, please email me for a discount on the member dues. I think that's all we have for today, so thanks again for listening in, and we'll be talking to you soon. Bye-bye.